Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the second day of May. It's May already, Anno Domini 2026. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, sing your shoes, nothing less, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Speaking of dues, we are done with our pledge drive. We did not make our goal. We fell well short of our goal. But I want to thank everyone who was kind and generous enough to donate to this show and to this station. We very, very much appreciate everybody's support. If you still want to donate, you can. Just head on over to jazz901.org. Hit that big red Donate Now button and help us get a little closer to the goal we missed. So thank you all for your support.
Enough to keep us on the air for now.
That would be nice. So all right.
Did you dance around the maypole?
Naked? Yes. Well, I hope you're sitting down.
I hope you were before that.
If you're driving, pull over. It seems that Microsoft is giving users exactly what they want. In the latest Windows 11 preview, the Windows Insider preview for Windows 11, Microsoft is rolling out an update that gives users more control over their update process. No kidding. Including the option to skip updates entirely during the setup menu, allowing you to set up a PC without applying updates first. Additionally, Microsoft is now allowing users to pause Windows 11 updates in the settings with a dedicated calendar that extends up to 35 days. This ensures you have ample time to schedule an update session without disrupting your workflow. However, that 35-day mark is not a hard stop, as users can repause updates for another 35 days, even after the original period has expired, essentially allowing updates to be paused indefinitely. There are no limits to how many times you can reset this pause date, giving you full control over the entire update process. This could be especially useful when a new update series arrives and you want to wait and see if there are any OS issues or known problems before applying the update. Last but not least, Microsoft is also introducing a highly requested feature related to power settings. Traditionally, when an update is installed, the power menu gives users the options to update and restart or update and shut down alongside the lock and sleep options. Your OS update can be installed, but you can restart or shut down the device without a mandatory application. So if you need to get something done quickly, the OS won't stand in your way. Finally, Microsoft is also promising more transparency with updates. Yeah, we'll see. Especially regarding drivers. As system updates sometimes carry little information about what is updated, Microsoft is promising improvements in this area as well. This is all part of Microsoft's kinder, gentler, win-back fans initiative, which they're getting more serious about as their stock plummets. Hit them in the wallet. They pay attention. Even they have finally realized that people are unhappy and are looking much more seriously at Mac, Linux, and Chrome OS as viable alternatives. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Win 11 updates can be skipped or paused. Your choices are, it's about dang time. Oh, well, that's nice. Too little, too late, and Windows. So far, we've got 23 votes, and Windows is ahead, followed by, oh, well, that's nice. It's about dang time. And one of you thinks it's too little, too late. Actually, I'm kind of with you. So give us a call at 585 if you'd like to discuss that or dang near anything else. Wait, you can vote at the poll by heading over to soundbites.org. I said that already. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. And since we're no longer in a pledge drive, you don't have to be afraid to call. Microsoft has been slowly losing market share. And part, it's not really going to Macs or Linux. It's going to phones and tablets.
Right.
But it is, they are losing market share, and that makes them very unhappy.
And a lot of people just not upgrading.
And just not, simply not upgrading, staying on Windows 10. But even with Windows 10, they are still losing market share. So they are very unhappy about that, and they're trying to figure out why. Never mind that we've been telling them why for years. But not just us, but, you know, everybody has been telling them why for years. But they are finally starting to pay at least lip service to that, and we'll see where that goes, but it's a start.
So I wonder if this includes regular people or just enterprise users. Because enterprise is really kind of stuck with Windows.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Well, they say it's part of the regular Windows Insider, so it should get to everybody soon. Now, again, let me reiterate, this is not available for general public yet. This is in the Windows Insider. Remember, we're all beta testers for Microsoft. But Windows Insiders are alpha testers. They get to stuff that they guarantee will break, and they get to play with it. And one of the things they're getting to play with is this automatic pause of updates.
It used to be a week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now it's a month. And
well, but it used to be a week, and you couldn't do it past that.
Yeah.
You're right.
At the end of
it was
a week,
one-time deal.
Heck with you, you're done. But, yeah, so.
And that while in, Steve Gibson has a tool. Started out as Never 10.
Right.
People who didn't want to go to 10, and now that they're on 10, they don't want to leave 10. But he has another tool called In Control that uses an enterprise registry key that stops Windows updates from installing.
Right, until Microsoft decides to change
that key. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Judy from Webster, New York. What's up, Judy?
Well, I use the Microsoft messaging.
Yes.
And there's a message on the, when I open it up, there's a message that says it's going away July 6th and to change to Google. So
I thought it was already gone, actually.
Yeah. No, yes, they are correct.
Okay, so when I check the Google messaging, it says that it collects all the data from everything on your phone.
Yes. Yes, that's the devil's bargain you make with Microsoft.
Okay, so is there any other messaging that I can use that doesn't do that?
One of the problems is everyone you know has to use the same messaging platform.
If you don't use, I mean, there's.
Well, okay, you're talking about text messaging or internet messaging?
Text.
Okay.
Okay, so Signal, for example, is a secure messenger, but the other person also has to be using Signal.
Right.
The same is true for Textra and Pulse and WhatsApp and a couple of others.
Telegram.
And so.
You remember Adium? That would talk to a dozen different protocols.
Yep.
I've got a couple of customers still using it, internal only, because it doesn't work with anything else.
Right. So right now, at least, there really isn't anything else that works everywhere.
Who's your carrier, your phone carrier?
T-Mobile.
Yes, I know Verizon has their own text messaging app.
Right, so does Samsung, but that's the one that's going away. So the other problem is there are two types of text messages. There's what's called SMS, simple messaging system, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And that is text only. Then there's RMS, which is rich messaging service.
RCS. Rich communication services.
Yes, RCS.
Yeah.
And that's the one that lets you send emojis and pictures and all the other stuff. There are a couple of messengers that are strictly text only. AOSP, FASE, Quick. But, A, they're not encrypted, so they go in the clear out across the internet.
Which your text messages already do. Text messages are not encrypted.
RCS messages are.
Right. Depending on the carrier. Some of them don't support, because Google had their own encryption method for RCS that some of the other carriers didn't support. Now that RCS standard added encryption, people are adding the standard, which was what Google was using. But,
But if you expect to get messages from people who send like emojis or pictures, or you want to send emojis or pictures, then you have to use a messaging system that uses RCS. And there are very few right now beyond the ones we already mentioned, Google Messages, Samsung, which is going away, T-Mobile has their own. So you're really kind of stuck at this point.
Thank you for that.
Sorry. I wish I had better news for you, Judy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we're
so there's a, I'm looking at, there's a T-Mobile app called Digits. Okay, that's different. That lets you run multiple phone numbers on a device.
Right.
Hello? Jack, where are you calling?
So it's odd
that it just doesn't come with a text messaging app built in.
Well, most of them do. The problem is they're...
They bought it from somebody.
They bought it from somebody, or it's a pain in the ass to keep running, so they're all saying, just go use Google.
Yeah. So, according to Androidly, Android Alley, I'll post this link of the best texting apps for Android. And one is called New Messenger.
New! Yeah, but you got to understand, we don't know anything about these.
Yeah,
we're not endorsing them. We're just saying they're out there.
Chomp.
They're to explore.
I might want to use one called Chomp. I like that one.
I like Chomp. I like the idea of Chomp.
The name, yeah.
But are they universal?
Right? Yeah, these are text messaging.
Cross-platform.
Right. SMS only, so no
RCS built in. It might.
Right. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Jack from Gates, New York. What's up, Jack?
Way back when people first started to use computers, there's always this caution that, oh, be careful about leaving your screen on, because if you've got the same image on there for a real long time, it can kind of permanently burn that image into your screen.
Right.
Is that ever true? Is it true now for monitors?
No.
It was true on black and white screens, CRTs.
Or amber or green.
Right. Monochrome.
Right.
Less true on color CRTs, but still possible. But you had to leave the same image for... We got a bunch of monitors on a buyback from a company. Every single one of them had burned. It's now safe to shut down your PC on it. So someone turned off the PC, left the monitor on for years.
Right.
But LCDs don't have that problem.
OLEDs do.
Mm-hmm.
And plasmas do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have an LCD screen, they generally don't get permanently burned in. They can get temporary image retention. Usually that's solved by turning the screen off and leaving it off for a while. But, you know, a lot of people just these days black the screen out.
Yeah, I never turn mine off. I just turn the monitor computer off. I leave the computer on, turn the monitor off at night.
That's where screensavers came from, is to play some sort of animation on the screen to save the burn-in until and then sleep came along to actually turn the monitor off after a few minutes.
How long does the monitor have to be on to a static image before something like that happens?
It depends entirely on the type of monitor, but generally speaking...
Yeah.
A long time, weeks, months, right? But if you leave, let's say you leave your machine on and you're running Windows, eventually the bottom bar where the start button is and the clock is and all of that would burn in.
We've seen a lot of Apple monitors or monitors used on Apples, not Apple brand even, that have an Apple logo burned into the monitor, because every single program has an Apple logo
in that same spot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes even TVs, if you watch like the same channel all the time, the TV bug in the bottom corner will burn into the television.
That's exactly right.
I can remember back in the day, guy got a brand new 19-inch monitor, and his son took these magnetic letters that you put on the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah,
taped them on there, said, "Happy birthday, Dad." And they because they were magnetic. They yep. burned right into in. The screen.
Yep.
Now, brand new monitor.
We played with that in physics class to see how that worked with a CRT and firing an electron beam at phosphorus. So you could maneuver the beam
right.
with a magnet, and they're always quick to say, "Don't do this for too long." Or
yeah, right. yeah, you're ruining the screen.
But yep. generally speaking, what you probably might prefer to do, Jack, is just run a screensaver, but without. You can run a screensaver that asks you for your password to log back in, or a screensaver that doesn't.
And so if it's in your house, you
right?
know.
If it's a desktop or a laptop that never moves, then you don't need a password to log back in. You can just set it to blank the screen out when you're not looking at it. Although why you wouldn't want to run bouncing cows, I do not know.
When Windows or Linux like turns off the display after so many minutes automatically,
right?
Is everything on your computer basically running as it normally would, or does any other thing shut down when the display goes off like that?
If it's only well, it depends, Jack. Yeah. It depends on how you've set it up. But generally speaking, it only turns off the screen and everything else is running in the background. That's what I do at home. My desktop. The screen turns off after 5 minutes, but everything's still running in the background, so it still does its backup at 2 in the yep. morning, and it does all the other stuff that it does just without an image on the screen.
It's usually two different settings. Mm-hmm. It used to be called sleep, and now everyone changed it to energy saver.
Right.
Because that became the bigger deal, is all the wasted electricity of those screens running. Your screen will turn off at, say, you know, 5 minutes, your computer or go to sleep. And your computer will go to sleep at, say, you know, 15 minutes or 30 minutes. So you can have your screen sleep in 5 minutes and your computer sleep never if you have it doing things all the time.
And when you use the word energy saver, is that referring to the computer sleeping or just the screen sleeping?
Both.
Both.
Sleep. So you have three choices. Sleep, hibernate, and just blanking the screen. Sleep kind of shuts things sort of down, uses very little power, and you can start up again quickly because stuff is still in memory. Hibernate essentially takes everything in memory and writes it to the disk and turns everything off. A blank screen just turns off the display. The PC itself remains fully active.
In fact, some of the displays these days have their own energy-saving features in them where they will blank out after a time, and then some of them will actually turn off after a time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then, Nick said, it takes longer to turn back on.
Yeah.
From an off state than from a sleep state.
Right. A blank screen just takes, well, with some versions of
depends Linux, on the monitor yeah. and model.
Well, if it's just screen blanking, that happens in the computer. And in some versions of Linux, you can say, oh, take 3 seconds to, mm-hmm. you know, undim the screen and then dim it down in 3 seconds to black. But generally speaking, you wiggle the mouse or hit a key and bang, the screen comes immediately back and you're back.
In the olden days of CRTs where it would take 10 or 15 seconds to come back and it did a degauss.
Right.
And the person sitting in the cubicle opposite you, their monitor went nuts for a minute while yours degaussed.
Yes. But yeah, generally speaking, if you're talking about simply blanking the screen, everything else remains running.
Okay. So one approach to this might be all those settings, sleep, hibernate, blah, 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 set them to never, and then just use a screensaver that's basically manually toggled on and off.
You could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I tend to leave mine auto turn off in 5 minutes at my desktop. Because I'm never not doing something for 5 minutes, and if I am, I've walked away.
Did you pay for the 5 minutes or the full half hour?
There's never a half hour just now. Yeah, but so yes, and you could do it that way, and there is a black screensaver.
Okay.
So you can set a screensaver that is a black screen.
Okay.
Or, of course, use any screensaver you want. Again, if you're on Linux, I suggest Bouncing Cow.
Flying Toasters was always popular.
Flying Toasters are popular.
Somebody posted something the other day that the remember the Microsoft Pipes screensaver?
Oh, yeah.
Their computer was doing something crazy. I don't know what it's building, but what's going to happen if they'd never seen Pipes?
There is a version of Pipes for the Linux command line. In text only. I love it. I run it.
There's a website called Screensavers Planet where you can download screensavers.
Oh, nice.
I always liked the aquarium.
The fish.
That was a big thing for a while, to rip the guts out of your CRT and turn it into an actual aquarium.
Actual aquarium. Anyway, Jack, we seem to have left you in the dust. Did we answer your question?
Yes, you've given me some real good options. Thanks for your help today.
All right, thank you. And for those of you on Linux, check out Bouncing Cow. A cow, a trampoline. Together, they fight crime.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, I had up to eight. If you've got a decent graphics card, you can have up to eight cows bouncing simultaneously. I do just black out my screen, but I ran that for a while just to see it.
For the longest time, we were running SETI at home.
Yes.
And then they got so much data that, we're done. And then the Arecibo telescope collapsed. And then there was folding at home for protein folding and fighting cancer. Most of those distributed projects have kind of fallen out of favor, and you don't hear much about them anymore.
Well, so many people have laptops that they shut down when they stop working.
That and tablets and...
Right.
You know, it's great for, you know, the home use. If you got a home computer, big box that sits there, and yeah, you'd want something like that. But most of the folks that are using the, like you said, the laptops and the tablets and that type of stuff, it's portable and minimal use.
Right.
Or not long. What I mean by that is not hours of use of sitting at it like you would see your computer at home. Usually taking them to go to class or go to work, do a meeting, and you're constantly moving with it.
Now it's Bitcoin miners.
Yeah, those have been around forever. I told you I did that at RIT at one point.
Yeah.
At night, I would run Bitcoin miners on the lab machines. And I had Bitcoin. I have a Bitcoin wallet with Bitcoins on it.
Do you remember the password?
No.
Yeah.
No, I do not.
And there lies the challenge.
So as the value has gotten higher and higher, more and more of the Bitcoin cracking services have come up that will break into your wallet for half
of what you got.
Yeah.
I've tried every password I ever had, and I must have used a different one.
There was a guy in Wales that accidentally threw away his thumb drive with his wallet on it, and he's been fighting for 10 years to be allowed to go to the dump and find it. You know, that same day, it's in that pile. You know,
right.
So he's trying to buy the dump to be able to get permission to go in and dig for that screen. Because it's got, you know, $1 billion in it now.
Yeah, probably. Speaking of Bitcoins, that leads me to blockchains. And several of you were kind enough to send me an article about there's an exploit. The bad guys are now using the blockchain to send out malware. And the problem with the blockchain is nothing ever leaves the blockchain.
Yep.
It's always there.
That was the point of it. You could always check a transaction.
Right. So they are using the blockchain to send out malware, and it can't be removed from the blockchain. So there's some real issues going on. Nothing good comes of anything anymore, I think, is how that pretty much has to work.
The book I'm reading now, the blockchain is sentient. And what's the name of it? Automatic Noodles? It's a bunch of robots that just want to open a restaurant and make noodles.
Sure, and why not?
And why not, yeah. And so they had to talk to the contract on the blockchain because the company that owned them disappeared. But they're still paying a lease for the building, so we got to keep paying that lease.
Yeah, right. So now they're going to make noodles.
They're going to make noodles,
pay for the building. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You can join us by calling 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. It's Soundbites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a few.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edwin.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
His music, you know, the levels.
I know, they change.
I have to be ready in case sometimes they're way silent, and then other times they blow out your eardrums.
All right, give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. So, Microsoft had some issues with Outlook. Excuse me. Issues with Outlook. Email clients suffered sign-on glitches Monday, and some of those problems seem to have continued farther into the week. You may have to log back in. Users on iPhones might have to re-enter their passwords and settings to access Outlook accounts again. If that doesn't work, you may even have to reset your password. And now Microsoft says that may be necessary on non-iPhone systems too, so you Apple folks don't have to feel singled out. Microsoft hates everybody. Microsoft and the U.S. Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, warned that attackers are exploiting a zero-click Windows flaw that can expose sensitive information on vulnerable systems. The flaw stems from an incomplete fix for an earlier vulnerability. While Microsoft fixed this in February's patch Tuesday, apparently it wasn't enough. Closing that vulnerability opened up another one. Shocking, I know. So look for yet another out-of-band patch, we hope. Patch on top.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. Pinch them.
Ooh, you make me so angry. Speaking of, Microsoft is working to resolve a known issue that prevents some Microsoft Teams free users from chatting and calling others. You know, what it's actually used for. The company blames these problems on, and I quote, a recently deployed back-end change, end quote. A recently deployed... We screwed up a fix, is what they're telling you, that skips the onboarding and privacy consent screens for some users, rendering their profiles inaccessible to others. Microsoft has flagged this incident as a service degradation, which sounds so much more friendly and blameless than we screwed up again. Speaking of, the April 2026 security update breaks third-party backup applications from multiple vendors on systems running Windows 11, 24H2, and 25H2. Remember how we told you should back up all the time? Yeah, Microsoft broke that for you. The list of software impacted by this known issue includes, but is not limited to, products from Acronis, Macrium, NinjaOne Backup, and Ur Backup Server. Microsoft also warned that some Windows Server 2025 devices will boot into BitLocker Recovery and ask for a BitLocker key after installing the update. Hope you got that key handy. So what you might want to do right now is go check to see, A, if you have a BitLocker key available to you. If you don't, go in and get one. Secondly, make sure your last backup actually worked.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Backup complete.
Yeah.
Zero files backed
up. Zero files restored. You're backed up, yeah.
Well, try restoring a document to some other folder and see if it does it successfully.
Yeah. Create a text file. Put a couple of words in it, save it, then try to restore it after you back it up. Speaking of, Microsoft has confirmed a new issue causing newly introduced Windows security warnings to display incorrectly when opening remote desktop files. The known issue impacts all supported Windows versions, including Windows 11, Windows 10, and Windows Server. The text in the warning windows is difficult to read and the button is misplaced, making it hard, if not impossible, to interact with the security dialog. Threat actors have increasingly abused RDP files, remote desktop files, in phishing campaigns, so be particularly careful with this one. Microsoft has released the earliest DOS source code discovered to date, along with other documents and notes from the developer to the public domain. This is no biggie, since CPM, which Microsoft used to create DOS, is already open sourced. So those of you who remember CPM can go download it and put it on anything you want. PIP. Let us all remember PIP.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not fondly, but remember it. Microsoft has published an updated support document outlining what the company believes the best Windows 11 gaming PCs have in common. Among the listed specifications, Microsoft makes an interesting note about the system's RAM capacity configuration. The document suggests that 16 gigabytes is a baseline for a modern PC, a baseline 16 gig, describing it as a good, and I quote, starting point, end quote. However, the company recommends that gamers in particular aim to surpass this baseline, as it now suggests 32 gigs as a no-worries upgrade for gaming PCs. Those of you who just bought an 8-gig laptop on Amazon, oh well.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, Microsoft...
Hope you can expand it further. Like.
Right. But as we, yeah, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. As we know, Microsoft's baseline RAM recommendations have always been barely useful. Usually doubling what they recommend is best. Also best is giving us a call. So be best at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415.
It just cements our what we've been saying for a long time. If you've got that old machine because you were forced to get a Windows 11 machine, take that other machine and start putting Linux on it and start playing. You can do a hell of a lot more with that machine with Linux than you can probably do with your new Windows 11 machine. And make it look, you have full control over it too, which you don't on the Windows machine, because you're at the whim of Microsoft when they're going to do the updates, if they're going to brick it in one of their updates.
Right.
And you eventually probably going to have to pay for it.
I've said this many times before. This laptop, which is 14 years old, is an Intel Core i5, not a high-end i5, the 42 series.
Sounds like
me. It's only got 4 gigs of RAM. It's got a 500 gig hard drive. I did replace the very slow 120 gig spinning drive with an SSD. But it runs super fast. It runs super clean, super quiet, super cold. Linux is running great in this machine. I couldn't run anything. I could probably run Windows 10 slowly on this. It wouldn't accept Windows 11. This is the very latest version of Linux, and it runs like a top. Thank you very much.
It spins around and around and around?
Spins around and slows down.
And falls over, yeah.
we think way too much alike. That's bad for one of us.
Yeah.
Me! All right, back to the phones.
You are my mentor.
and for that, I apologize to everyone else on the planet. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Karen from Brockport, New York. What's up, Karen?
Oh, hi. I called 2 weeks ago with a problem with pCloud, and I wanted to report on how that came out and also to say I'm still a member.
Oh, thank you. We'd love to hear that, and you're... The problem with pCloud is your backup hadn't restarted.
Yes, and the answer I got was exactly right.
Wait, from
heaven
us?
Heaven forbid.
Yes.
Well, that was our one for the week.
Yeah, the month.
Well, no, unfortunately, now it's May. So now we got to start all over again with a clean answer. Karen, thank you so much for following up and getting back to us. We love it when they do that.
Yeah. So, the answer was to update to the newest version of the pCloud, and the little problem I had doing that is you can't tell pCloud directly to update, because I think it's supposed to update automatically, but of course if it's not running, it's not going to do that. So I went back to the pCloud website and downloaded the program like I was starting it for the first time.
Yep, and that worked.
And that worked, and it let me log in, and then it took a while, of course, to scan and finish doing the backup, but then it's been great. So.
Excellent. That's what we love to hear. Thank you so much for getting back to us on that, Karen.
Yes.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have a computer in the shop now that is currently restoring from a different cloud backup service. It's been going a week and a half now.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are very slow.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, those of you who use Ubuntu or an Ubuntu-derived version of Linux may have noticed that Snap wasn't working. So, okay. Let me finish with what happened.
Crackle and Pop?
Crackle and Pop are okay. Snap is not working because there was a DDoS, a distributed denial of service attack on the Snap store. Snap is Canonical's way of packaging up. Normally, when you download something either on Windows or Linux or Mac, it uses, you know, DLLs or libraries or whatever you want to call them that are built into the operating system. The problem comes when you get into what used to be called DLL hell, where this program wants this version of a library, this other program wants a different version of the library, and they clash. So companies have started packaging everything into a single program. All the dependencies, all the libraries, everything into a single program. The version that Canonical uses is called Snap, and they are transferring many things to it. Generally speaking, if you're running a fairly new version of Linux, of Ubuntu Linux, and you're running Firefox, you're running a Snap, for example. The other well-known version is Flatpak, and there are a couple of others. Flatpak is an open standard and is decentralized, so there are lots of places that are hosting all of the versions of each Flatpak program. Snaps are from Canonical. They are all on one server. They are owned and run by Canonical. And because they are all on one server, it's a single point of fail, and it is currently being attacked. So if you can't update your Ubuntu installation right now, wait a while and try again. Snap has been going up and down for about 3 or 4 days. All right.
On the Mac, we've got DMG installers and PKG installers to mess with.
Right. Right, same idea.
Yep.
IMG files. No, those aren't.
DMG.
DMG, exactly.
So that's basically an image of the disk.
Disk image.
Yeah, disk image, when we used to have disks.
Yeah, I remember disks.
And, yeah, PKG is an installer package.
Right. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Don from somewhere in North Carolina. Where, Don?
I'm in Farrington Village, which is about 8 miles south of Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah, I know Chapel Hill. Okay, what's up?
You continue to extol the virtues of Linux. My question is, will Linux operate Adobe Bridge, Lightroom, and Photoshop full versions?
No.
Not directly. But there are many alternatives that many people think are better than the Adobe programs.
Right. The Adobe programs are designed specifically for Windows.
And Mac.
So you can run them using a thing called Wine, which
is not an emulator.
Wine is not an emulator. That's what Wine stands for. It's a recursive acronym. But what it does is it translates all the Windows calls to Linux calls. So the program runs fine. Setting up isn't that easy, but it can be done. The other thing is to try some of the Linux alternatives, like, for example, for
Adobe.
Lightroom. Adobe alternatives. For example, for Lightroom, there's Darktable. And there are, you know, there are other programs that work. If you use, for example, a video editor, there's Kaden Live, and you know, there's a couple.
Photoshop
would be GIMP. And so there are alternatives that are it depends. Okay, so if you're a hardcore long time Photoshop user, you're going to hate the GIMP because things are in different places and you have to learn a new program. You can do all the same things; it just does them differently, and so you now have a learning curve. The same thing is true of Darktable, although they designed it to be closer to Lightroom. But if you're ensconced in the Adobe ecosystem, then you're pretty much stuck with either Windows or a Mac.
Mm-hmm. What is this conversion program you mentioned? Wine, Wine?
Right, Wine. It's basically let me talk about two things. First, let me talk about Wine. Wine is a thing that you install on your computer, and then you have to set up each program individually, and that requires a lot of work. Or there is a thing called Bottles, which packages up wine. Get it? Wine comes in bottles. Ha ha ha.
Okay.
And there are bottles for Lightroom, and there are bottles for Photoshop, and there are bottles for other things. So you would want a version of Linux that is best running for bottles.
What you're saying, Zorin did that?
Zorin does that. Ubuntu, Fedora, Linux Mint.
Most of them.
Most of them will run bottles. Really anyone using Flatpak, so that would be Mint or Fedora, or you know, because like I said, Ubuntu prefers snaps.
And there's a commercial program called Crossover that does all of the nitty stuff for you.
Bottles.
So you say, I just want to run this program, and it does.
Right, but Crossover does cost money.
I'm pretty heavily into semi-professional photography, and I think from what you're describing, unfortunately, I need to stick with the Adobe family. However, is Windows 11 considerably more secure, and would you say relatively very safe compared to Windows 10?
Well, compared to Windows 10, yes, absolutely. Well,
there's some arguments that Windows 10 has been out so long that most of the bugs have probably been found, and Windows 11 is new enough that they're still finding new bugs.
Well,
but
yes.
There's so much overlap in the code that every Windows 11 bug they find is also for Windows 10.
Yeah,
you're just not getting the updates on Windows 10.
Right, and so because of the updates, Windows 11 is going to be more secure. Now, that is...
Considering the number of Windows 10s, that operating system, which are still in use, is Microsoft by chance considering supporting it further and to any greater extent?
They say no. They are tired of supporting Windows 10. They want everybody off it.
They currently have a program running called Extended Support that expires in October.
And October 14th.
We're all wondering if they're going to extend it again.
Right. Right now they're saying no. And it honestly depends entirely on the bean counters. If they feel that they will make more money by abandoning Windows 10, they will do so. And I can't put it any plainer than that.
How do you get extended support?
One of three ways. You buy it.
I'll pop the link.
Yeah, there's a link. Rather than us having to go through this, Steve is putting a link up on Soundbites, soundbites.org, bites with a Y, and it will be under links you heard on the show.
Okay, it's not free, correct?
It can be free. There's three ways to get it. One you pay for, and two are free. So free, but a little intrusive. But then Windows is intrusive anyway, so who cares at that point? Honestly, it's not going to be more intrusive than just having Windows.
I'll check your website. Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks. It'll be up there in a minute.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, Steve does an amazing job of latest links heard on the show. He pops stuff up to the top. He adds new things all the time.
Yeah, so there's a lot of links already there, and I'll pop it to the top if we mention it again.
Yeah.
So if you search for Windows, Google, how's your Google foo? Search for Windows extended security updates, or you'll find it. So I'll just I'll pop it to the top of the list.
So we have our own search.
Yep.
But it is not as good as Google. Lower your expectations.
Yeah. You wrote it yourself, right?
Yeah, I wrote it myself. So I am not Sergey Brin or Larry Page. Trust me on this one. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill. I thought you would reach over and just pop him up. Now we have Bill from Greece, New York. I beg your pardon, Grandpa.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bill. What's up?
Yeah, I'm another grandpa. You keep saying the GIMP is an alternative for Photoshop. It's not.
Okay.
GIMP, you said the right thing, Darktable. Darktable will do raw editing. It does have a library. It catalogs your images, and it does everything that Photoshop and Lightroom do. GIMP works on JPEG images only. A good photographer uses Photoshop because it works on RAW images, RAW images, and each camera has its own specification as to which type of RAW image. That's the data only without any pre-processing put on it. GIMP does not do that. Darktable does. And just for the guy that was calling, he can use Darktable on Mac or on Windows.
Oh, no kidding.
To find out, yeah, it's multi-platform.
Nice.
To find out if it will do the things in Photoshop that he thinks he needs. It actually does more. It's written by engineers for engineers, and it's a pain in the neck to learn.
Just like Photoshop was. I used to teach a Photoshop class. It was like a five-day class. Day one was learning how to select.
Yeah.
Select this, select that, select this, but not that. And at the first lunch break, someone said, when are we going to learn how to use Photoshop? We are. Step one, select what you want to edit. Step two, edit it.
Right.
Now we've got AI that does the selecting.
Yeah. That smart wand. Put me out of a job.
The man you were talking to, he can probably get what he needs in Linux. I just wanted to put that
Thank
in.
You, Bill.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Darktable, there's also one called Raw Therapy. And therapy is spelled with P-E-E at the end. All one word, Raw Therapy. That also does raw images. But I have not used it. I don't know anything about it. I just know it exists. It's good to know that Darktable actually does everything the general Adobe Photoshop user would need. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, according to Wikipedia, GIMP can import raw photos.
It can import them.
But can't save raw.
Right. And it doesn't work directly on RAWs, which Darktable and Raw Therapy do. So, there are alternatives to paying Adobe. The downside is, as we said earlier, a learning curve. You have to learn a new program.
There's a really great...
And that's frustrating and annoying, and I get that.
There's a really great free suite called Affinity. They got bought by Canva, and so we were worried. And they said, no, we're gonna keep Affinity free forever.
So far, yep.
And they have replacements for Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign.
Oh, nice. So pop that up, put that on there as well.
There are alternatives.
You just, as with anything, you're gonna spend some time in a learning curve. That's just life in general. But once you learn it, you've saved a lot of money and maybe some time and effort if it works better for you. All right. That first hour just flew by. I stayed awake for much of it. I hope you did too. But don't go too far. We're gonna play a little few notices, and then we're gonna be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the whole in the known universe. That's another hour of Dave Enright, another hour of Steve Ray, another hour of me, Nick Francesco, and another hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. Take that bio break. Get yourself a snack and a beverage. But don't stray too far from your radio. Keep listening, because we're coming back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in a few.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Again, before we get back to the phones, our pledge drive is over for those of you who are tuning in for the second hour only. So thanks to each and every one of you who contributed. We appreciate it very much. We did not make our goal, which is very sad. But we still, thanks to each and every one of you who were kind and generous enough to become members or upgrade your membership or pledge an extra donation to help keep this station on the air. We very much appreciate it. Thank you.
And one of the cool thank you gifts is this great jazz insulated tumbler.
I got mine too.
Yep.
Very nice.
I'll take it. The ice still hasn't melted.
Very good.
Put in this morning.
Yeah. And that's the important part right there. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Oh, a whole lot. Where do I begin? So one of the things that I heard when you first came on the air was not making the goal.
Right.
And then another thing is just the kind of random stuck in my brain is call in now. And those two thoughts came together and going, what if I were to call in and you weren't there?
And thank you. Yes.
You know, so I dug a little deeper and managed to make an extra donation.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much.
I know you all have to be more polite. I don't have to be.
So, just keep it clean. We have the FCC.
Everybody that's hearing my voice, think about it. If you go to call in with a question because your computer's having a problem and there's nobody answering the phone. So if you can, dig deep.
Thank you, Fred. We appreciate
it. Yeah,
that.
We really do appreciate that, Fred.
App. I used my on phone app and was able to easily add to my donation. So, at any rate, that being said.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you so much.
I have spoke before about some computer programs that I've had a problem. I was having problems with NPAS on one machine. I have two machines that are identical systems. One's a desktop and one's a laptop, but I purposely created them from the same flash drive, created everything identical so I could go back and forth and see what works and what doesn't. I could not get the desktop to download the appropriate up-to-date NPAS. It kept telling me there was an error. It kept telling me that my password was incorrect. It was a whole bunch of things. I deleted everything that I could think of to delete. I Google searched, and I spoke with you folks, and all the instructions from Ask Nick and all the instructions from NPAS to no avail. And finally, last night, I decided, you know what, I've had enough. Plug in the flash drive. Start from square one, and it's working perfectly.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Just one thing, though, Fred, just so you know, my wife is using NPAS, too, and occasionally she runs into where she goes to put in her password, and it says, nope, sorry, wrong password. And she tries to go in, to, you know, start the app, and it won't allow her password. So what I've taught her how to what to do is do a three-finger salute to bring up the task manager, go into task manager, end NPAS. End the process there, because sometimes in Windows it gets stuck, at least on her machine. So we stop the process, and then go back in and restart NPAS, put the password in, and it works.
I don't have Windows. Haven't had Windows for a while now.
It's the kill command in Unix.
Yeah,
right?
It's still the same principle.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll type a password I know is right, and it didn't work. So I get mad and type it again. It doesn't work. So then I get really mad, type it one finger, and it works.
I've often used copy and paste, and it's always on my phone. It worked on my laptop.
Although, interestingly, some password entry fields won't let you do copy and paste, so you can't steal a password.
And so there was something possibly that I did wrong. Something during an update when I reinstalled Linux Ubuntu 24.04. It was a message about an incomplete update, and it deleted that and then restarted a whole new installation. So I don't know what I did. I have no clue, but, you know, you guys helped me through it, and thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
I appreciate all the extra programming and software suggestions. I wrote down a few from today's broadcast, and it's made my life so much easier with doing things on a computer that I don't have a formal education in using them. I just try to just do what I need to do.
Like a lot of folks out there.
Like so many of us, yeah. And by the way, Fred, to kill NPAS on a Linux system, the easiest way to do that is at the command line, type kill all, which is one word, space, dash 9, space, NPAS.
Why not 10?
Because 9.
Does it want to go to 10? Nothing's a 10.
What about 11?
This one goes to 11. Kill all -9 is the level that you're killing it at, and that really says, I don't care, kill it.
Knife versus gun versus atomic weapon.
Exactly right.
Hopefully, I won't have to do that again, but I'll definitely make note of it.
Yeah,
right. And then you can restart it.
Yeah.
I had been using NPAS and on this Linux machine for over 2 years, so no problems. And then all of a sudden, I. Whatever I did on one, I didn't do on the other, luckily.
Right.
But it is definitely something that went wrong between the two machines.
Sometimes stuff just happens. I mean, I hate to say that, but sometimes stuff just happens.
Stuff happens.
Yep. So I'm glad to have you guys to call and ask and get help, and everybody else should appreciate it with putting their money where their concerns are. So.
Thank you so much, Fred.
All right. Thank you again. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Have fun. Another unsolicited testimony, ladies and gentlemen. Like we said, it's not too late to become a member of this station. All you have to do is head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate button, and donate. Or you can do it right from the Jazz 90.1 app. Or you can call during the week when the station is open and do it over the phone. But, you know, don't wait, because that's why you didn't do it already, because you forgot. We know how that works. We know you. We know ourselves. Never mind you. We know ourselves. If I don't do it now, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, it's history.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You know, usually I write things down and then I forget to look where I wrote them down. So that's a different story.
At least you remember to write them down.
I got that far anyway, right.
That's half the battle there.
Yep, you're right.
I've literally have created notebooks for when I'm doing certain, because there's so much to remember. And it's like my mind isn't like it was, you know, 30 years ago. I forget things.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I forget things easily. Or nothing ticks me off more when I go, I say I'm upstairs and I go downstairs and I get down there and it's like, what did I come down here for?
Right.
I knew it at the top of the stairs when I first started.
It's the threshold problem.
Crossing through a doorway, yeah.
When people cross through a doorway, their mindset changes.
Is there a new threat on the other side of this invisible
right,
wall?
It comes from the lizard brain in the back of our skulls that says, I'm coming into a new environment. I have to be ready for whatever happens. And so when we cross a threshold, when we cross one, we reset.
Yep. Although the other day, I did remember why I entered a room. It was the bathroom.
Yeah. That one I remember.
Yeah, usually that doesn't, there's no holding back on that one.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's a different problem. Anyway, we'll go to the phones again. We'll talk to Scott from Webster, New York. Hi, Scott. What's up?
Hi, fellas. Ditto what Fred said earlier. I'm a longtime listener, member, and supporter, and I'm going to sign up for Jazz-O-Matic just so I don't have to think about it. So it's an ongoing thing, and I don't have to feel guilty during your pledge campaigns because I've already given.
Well, bless you too, Scott. Thank you so much. For those of you who don't know, Pledge-O-Matic is a service we offer where for at least $10 a month, you just say, I want to be a Pledge-O-Matic member, and here's the amount I want to give every month, and it's a minimum of $10. And then every month we just take that money right out of your checking account. So it's a little bite every month instead of a big bite all at once, but you still get the benefit at that level. So let's say you do the $10 a month. That's the $120 membership level. You can get the lovely thermal mug or, you know, a couple of other different prizes that are available. So
gifts
that are available. That's wonderful, Scott. Thank you so much. We need your help. We need to stay on the air. We want to stay on the air. And if you want us to stay on the air, step up. We need your help. And you know, the pledge drive is over, but the pledges can still go in, and you can still stay there for sound bites. So please do that. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. And I have a question.
Sure.
I'm going to be slowly transferring my cloud storage from Windows 365. What I'd like to do is either find another cloud storage, but I think what I'd prefer to do is have something in my house, like a, I guess it's called a NAS, network storage system. I have two computers, one my wife uses and one I use, and what I'd like to do is have it automatically back up to this local drive that I have, and then she could access her files separately from me.
Sure.
Is that something that's doable, or do you need two separate drives?
What operating system are you running?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What operating system?
Windows 11.
Okay.
We have 365, so a lot of that's in cloud storage, but I, you know, if I ever stop, then I lose all that, right?
That's right.
Most of the NAS drives, well, you can buy them empty and put your own hard drives into it. Or you get, you know, 2 terabyte, 4 terabyte, 8 terabyte. You can choose how big a drive you want. We generally recommend double your computer's drive space. So if both you and your wife have 1 terabyte drives, then you need a 4 terabyte backup.
Just to be safe.
Just to be safe. Synology is kind of the king of NAS drives, but they're expensive and they're complicated.
Yes.
Okay.
We sell the Buffalo brand drives in our store because they're relatively easy to set up. And once you set them up, it's just a network share, and you point your backup program to it.
Yeah, so you can have one essentially folder on that drive, and your wife would have another one. You can even separate them so you can't see each other if that's desirable to you, or you can see each other. You can do whatever you want.
Good, okay. And you probably would still recommend having some form of cloud storage, I guess, in addition to a NAS.
Off-site, just in case.
Off-site, yeah, and I guess pCloud is an option for that, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, and last question. I am going to eventually, you know, I keep saying this every week that I listen to you, I want to at least try out Linux. I'd like to, can you then easily access your files on this NAS drive through Linux? I mean, that should be no problem, right?
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay. You just set it up like you would a Windows and point to the folder.
Yeah, there's plenty of videos that you could spend from now until the end of the year viewing, teaching you how to do different things in Linux.
Okay.
Every flavor, too. It'll teach you how to do, whether you're installing stuff, uninstalling stuff, using certain products, or laying them out. Say you want your machine to look like a Windows machine, or you want it to look like a Mac.
Or look like something you've never seen before.
Yeah, there's so many out there, it's mind-blowing.
Also,
do you have a suggestion as to which YouTube channels might offer the best, or... Just Google it.
There's too many to even...
There's too many.
Yeah.
There are also specific ones. So, for example, let's say you decided you wanted to try Linux Mint.
Yep.
There is a YouTube channel called Love Linux Mint.
Okay.
Right? So, and there are more. I won't bore you. But there are specific channels for specific versions of Linux, so you can do that. Also, before I forget... On our website at soundbites.org, under some important links, the second link is backup, backup, backup.
Yeah.
It takes you to my website at asknick.com and talks about backup plans and programs. There is a link to pCloud there. If you use it, it is my affiliate link. I get a couple of pennies.
Okay.
I wouldn't say no. But at any rate, the idea is there's lots of options on that page that you can see for backup.
Okay, so that's, you go to soundbites.org, and then you click on backup, backup, backup. Takes you to Nick's, your page. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, it's exactly what I said.
Okay. All right, fellas. Good. Keep on trucking. We love being able to pick up the phone and get a quick answer rather than try to, you know, look through other sources and try to figure out something and... You know, on YouTube, so very helpful.
Thank you so much. We love to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
Yep.
I should point out that sometimes those quick answers are correct.
Yep. And we are also on YouTube.
We are on YouTube.
Which is great because you can stop and pause and rewind and hear that again. And
right. And if you fall asleep in the middle of it, you can go back.
Yep.
That's important. We are on YouTube. We are on. We have our own archives. We are on a couple of podcasting sites. So you know, you can find Soundbites everywhere on the planet. You can listen to us live here or through your smart speaker or whatever. So it all works out, and you should have no trouble listening to us anywhere you like. And while you figure out where you'd like to listen to us, which you don't really have to do because you're already listening to us, we're going to talk to Fred from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Fred?
Well, first I'd like to say I'm also a member, a returning member or whatever.
We love to hear that. Thank you.
I donated a little bit more than I usually do because obviously you guys need it. And like the other Fred, we appreciate being able to listen to you every week.
Thank you so much. It warms our hearts. Thank you.
All right. There's been a, I'd like to offer some suggestions to people that want to run Windows 11 on, let's just say, less powerful hardware. These are things I've been doing for quite a while. But one thing I've found is if you proactively run Windows updates when you're not actively using your computer, it makes a heck of a difference.
Yes. Yes.
For those who don't know, the second Tuesday of every month is when they roll out a lot of updates. So late Tuesday or early Wednesday, go to your update page when you don't need to use a computer, and force the updates. There'll be a little thing that says check for updates button. And even if it says you're up to date, ignore that and hit the button.
Yep.
It'll take however long it takes. You may have to reboot your machine a couple times, but at least you won't be doing that when you're trying to do a Zoom session.
Yeah, it won't suddenly pop up and kick you out.
Yeah.
Right.
I recommend to people all the time, when you're sitting down in front of the computer and watching television, kick it off.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. You don't want to sit there and watch this for an hour. You'll get so mad you'll go grab a hammer.
Right. It's the truth.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
Now, after that, I run Windows Defender. If it says that you ran it yesterday, don't bother. But if it's more than a couple days, run a quick scan. That'll take a couple of minutes.
Yep.
Last thing I do is launch. I've got. I usually put both browsers on the machine, Chrome and Firefox. But if you fire off each one, you go over to the little menu on the right, the hamburger menu, down to Help, About, and update both of those.
Yep. Keeping everything up to date is the number one way to stay safe.
Well, not only that, but it frees up the system so that when you need to use it, you don't have all this crap running in the background.
Right, exactly right. Exactly right. Good thinking, Fred.
Other things I've done is, if you feel like doing it, but go to your installed apps and uninstall any unneeded apps. Personally, I don't do gaming, so I don't use Xbox, so I delete both, or I uninstall both of those.
But, Fred, let me just back you up there for a second. Instead of using the Windows uninstaller, we always recommend using Revo uninstaller. Reason being, when you use the Windows uninstaller, all it does is turn off one bit.
In the registry.
And all the extra stuff that Windows program put on there is still there. Whereas if you use a program like Revo Uninstaller, it will go in and delete all the files in the registry and eliminate the folders for the program, thus not slowing your machine down as you're cleaning it up.
Okay, either way, uninstall or use Revo to do it, but get rid of things that you don't need.
Yep,
right.
It's amazing how much cruft comes with Windows.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, no. Last thing is startup apps. Go to your startup apps thing and see if there's things that it starts every time you boot up the machine that you really don't need to be running in the background.
If you're not a person who uses Microsoft Office, turn it off.
Yeah. So there's an auto startup. So it starts up half of Office while the computer boots. So when you actually do click on Word, it opens faster.
Yeah.
But if you only use Word once a week, you don't need all that stuff happening all the time.
That's right.
Right. You lose a few seconds when you that one out of 100 times when you actually want to run it, and for that you got to pay for it all the time because it's running in the background.
Yeah, it's slowing your machine down. Yep.
Last thing is taskbar. I turn off the widgets thing over in the left. If you like that thing, fine.
Right.
But after I do this, Windows only runs with about 2.3 gigabytes of RAM usage in the background.
Yep.
So
and a lot of people are now looking forward to turning off Copilot.
Yep.
Oh, that's one of the things I uninstall. I don't use Copilot. I personally don't like OneDrive. It's very intrusive. I don't suggest people uninstall that unless they know where their files are, because by default, OneDrive takes all your files in for your safety, puts it all up on the cloud, but they don't tell you that.
Right.
Until you run out of the 5 gigabytes of free space and have to pay for more.
Right.
Right. But anyway, that switching to an SSD, if you're not running one, that they're three to four times faster.
Oh, yeah. An SSD is, I tell people who are running slow systems, it's the number one fix. Yep.
Unfortunately, now SSD prices are.
Well, yeah, unfortunately,
three
yes.
Or four times what a spinning drive is.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring that up, but the last time I was shopping them, I bought Crucial ones for like in the low 20s. They were so cheap.
Yeah.
Have them on the shelf in case you need them, but
not anymore.
After I've done, after I do that, you can run Windows 11 with an old i3 and 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Yep.
It runs okay. I mean, it's not going to run like a brand new one with an i7. But
right.
if you debloat it quite a bit, if all you do is do a little surf, and you know you don't want to run 100 tabs on your browser at a time, you have a decent experience with it. So that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I'm running on some, I've got an old 8th generation i3 running Windows 11, and I'm doing LabVIEW program development, National Instruments, if you heard of it.
Yep.
I've been doing Microsoft Access database stuff. I mean, I can't run all of it all at the same time, but it doesn't run that bad.
Excellent. I'd love to hear that, Fred. Thank you so much.
One other quick, I actually have a question here. You guys have been talking about wine for a while. By the way, I want to make something clear. On all my desktops, I'm running Linux Mint, but I've got a couple of laptops that I run Windows on because there's a few things like that I just mentioned in the past running Windows. But my understanding with wine is it doesn't run all programs. It runs some of them, and most of them are the older obsolete programs for Windows.
Well, older, not necessarily obsolete.
And they have a compatibility checker on
compatibility.
Was it winetester.org? I think.
Yeah. Oh, cool! But like I said, last time I looked, like I think I was trying to do Adobe Reader, and like the last version that worked.
All right.
I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go, Fred. I'm sorry. Thanks.
All right, no, we're good. Thanks. Bye.
All right, gotta take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to those of you who have become members, Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I should mention we talked a little earlier about NAS drives, network attached storage for backup. You don't need an SSD for NAS drives.
Mm-mm. Or any backup, really.
Or any backup, because it doesn't matter if it takes an extra 2 seconds to back something up. It's happening in the background and you don't care. Or it's happening at 2 a.m. and you don't care. So save yourself money.
Yeah.
Get spinning drives.
And don't be beguiled by the fact that SSD drives shouldn't fail as much because there's no spinning parts. They fail just as much
exactly
as
the
spinning
same.
Drives, but for different reasons.
Right, right. But the mean time between failures is exactly the same between spinning drives and SSDs.
And the real-world testing that companies like Backblaze and Google have done, say about 20% per year failure rate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So save yourself some money if you're going to put a network-attached storage on your system. I use Raspberry Pi to do that, and the drive I have I have attached to it are all spinning drives, and it does not matter.
Yeah.
Because your network is going to be slower than the data access
anyway. Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Roger from Webster, New York. What's up, Roger?
First off, I am a member.
Thank you.
And I have a comment regarding passwords. It's been my experience, particularly with seldom used apps, that I get told I've entered the wrong password. Well, I certainly know, I'm certain that it's the right password. Guess what? After 3 tries, you're locked out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened to me more than once.
Mm-hmm.
The particularly seldom used, they will insist on a password change. It's not announced to me. I don't know it.
Yep. Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. So the guy that recommended obscuring passwords as you type them has apologized to the internet. 50 years ago, they thought that was a good thing, and it is. That means no one can look over your shoulder and see what you're typing, but it also means you mistype it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So a lot of places will have a little eyeball icon where you can see what you typed to make sure you typed it right. But sometimes it just still doesn't work.
Right.
Well, that's why a product like EnPass is so great, because you know I can make them as long as I want. All I do is open up EnPass, grab that item, say copy, go back to that web page, say paste, and I can have it over 64 characters.
Yep.
Doesn't bother me.
Yep.
The problem is my password manager is as ignorant as I am. It doesn't know if the password's been changed.
Right. Yeah. You do have to update your password manager. Some of them will do it automatically. Most of them will not.
Mine does not.
Yeah. Which one are you using?
Google.
Oh, yeah.
What comes with my phone?
Sometimes it will say, do you want to update this password? But many times it doesn't, and it's very annoying. And what's the difference? Yeah. It doesn't know.
Annoying.
One of the things I found is that if the username and password are like different pages, where you type your username in, then it goes to another page to type your password, the password managers don't know that's a password because it's not together.
Yep.
Right.
I get around it, but it's I learn some new words every time it happens to me.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a cursor.
Yeah.
Yes, that too.
All right, somebody asked me the other day what that meant when I said your cursor. Never heard cursor before in 40 years of computing.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Roger.
All right, appreciate you, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Yeah, passwords are a bane. They've tried to replace it. Certainly, passwords are obsolete. People use passphrases now, which means longer, even multiple words. And they're trying to replace them with biometrics, fingerprints, or Microsoft has the...
Which are more called passkeys.
Right.
Now, yeah.
Passkeys and on your phone, for example. And Microsoft has the hello thing where it does your face
recognition.
Those things are all available, but nothing is perfect. There's still a chain, right? So if there's a broken link in that chain, if a site is down or whatever, or one site didn't update properly, you end up with problems. And that's fair. I get it.
I've seen some sites, they don't use a password at all. Every time you log in, it emails you a code.
Yes.
So
but that's email can be intercepted.
Right. As can text messaging.
Right.
So then you use an authenticator, and then when you switch phones, the authenticator app doesn't work. So if you are using an authenticator, make sure you print out that QR code.
Yes.
That's generated when you put a new authentication in.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hello. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm peachy, too. Peachy
there you go.
Keen. Yeah. Gentlemen, about the Windows Update stuff. There's a little way in the update to tell your computer when your active hours are.
Yes.
And that's what I do. I say I'm active from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and I'm never usually on it after 8 p.m. for quite a while. Usually it's TV time, and it doesn't, you know, it may download the update, but it just sits there and waits for you to go idle before it installs it.
Yep, but not every update does that.
Yeah, so far, so good. It's worked out great. It just sits there and waits for me to be idle, and it'll wait till after 8 o'clock to install it.
Yep.
I'd say about 95% of the time.
Right.
That's a good alternative.
Yeah, it is a good alternative, and they are getting better. But the problem is, you know, those one or two times that it interrupts you doing something important makes people crazy.
Yeah, usually it gives you that 15-minute window where it says, you know, install now or wait 15 minutes.
Right, but a lot of people need more than 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, you're absolutely right.
if they would give you a little more time on that one, that would help, especially on the urgent ones. That way you can get your stuff done.
Right.
And, you know, and get that done. But we'll see. You know, it's Microsoft. They never do anything unless we force them to do it.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what they're doing now.
In the pocketbook, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what is happening here. They see that they're losing market share. They know that it's because people are just frustrated and angry. So now they're beginning to address it.
Right. And then when they get comfortable again, they'll start taking it away.
No, exactly.
Oh, and by the way, I wanted to know what your opinion was of this Greenlight and T-Mobile merger.
Oh, yeah.
I had messaged you about that, and you came up with the same thing I said.
Yeah.
Probably going to increase in price.
It probably is. T-Mobile and Greenlight and some other company, I can't remember the name of off the top of my head.
Go NetSpeed.
Are combining. I think T-Mobile bought them both, is how that worked. T-Mobile, Greenlight, and Go Mobile Speed are all going to be one company. We don't yet know what that means for any of us. But I suspect at some point there will be changes. I'm a cynic, but I love Greenlight. I love Greenlight. It's been amazing so far. Will it stay amazing? I certainly hope so. Maybe they'll bundle. Maybe this will be where I move to T-Mobile.
Well, he's also expanding to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, it's part of this. I think that's where Gold.
Well, they're only buying half of Greenlight.
The green part or the light part?
Yeah.
Or in between.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's going to mean yet. I hope it's all good. Like I said, Mark over at Greenlight has been amazing. He's been wonderful. The service has been rock solid from day one. The only times I ever lost connectivity was when they were fixing the street, the main street outside my home, and they were fixing the sewers and they cut through the cable. That's hardly Greenlight's fault.
No.
I'm not blaming them for that one.
So T-Mobile gets a benefit because from cell tower to cell tower, they have fiber.
Right.
So they're getting that fiber build out to make their cell system better.
Right. So if there's a bundle, and if that bundle saves me money, I could be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Heck yeah.
Right. The other thing is I remember how much people used to complain about Frontier, and all of a sudden now, Frontier's got this real stable fiber network that people are loving. I don't know what their pricing is and how that works, because I haven't looked into it, because they're the only fiber available in my neighborhood.
Greenlight's
working on moving in.
That's because Verizon bought Frontier, so we're getting all the Verizon goodness.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, are liking that. So, you know, at least we've got choices.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and I wouldn't be surprised in another 5 to 10 years if we didn't have another fiber company.
Well, you know, there used to be a movement for urban fiber, city fiber.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
city itself would put fiber in. That got killed in Congress, but...
some cities have done it anyway.
Some cities have done it anyway.
Yeah.
And it works out very nicely too. So yeah, I think competition is good for everybody. And I think we'll see more and more of it. Except I guess for the companies, they have to step up. But for us, it's great.
I hear that Spectrum and Xfinity, Comcast are losing internet customers, like by a million at a time.
Well, yeah, they got complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right, and so did Frontier in the beginning.
Yep.
Who's going to want this newfangled fiber nonsense?
DSL is great.
Right. So yeah, I get it.
Frontier didn't even go to cable. They just stick on copper wires, not even coax.
And a lot of people are liking that they can have the option of doing 5G.
Yep.
If they have good coverage in their area.
We did have a customer get suckered into one of those 5G offers. So they got the 5G modem. I went out, set everything up. Can't get it to work. Call tech support. I've been on the phone with them for a long time. They escalate me. Oh, we don't cover your area.
Yeah.
Right.
Why did you let her buy it in the first place?
Right.
Do your homework. Make sure you know. And it's always best to have that 5G modem near a window.
Yep.
Right.
You're going to get your best coverage by a window.
Yep.
A window facing the cell tower.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's so many cell towers out there now. Jeez, I mean, everywhere you look, you know, they're starting to pop up like trees.
I was like that one on 490 in Bushnell's Basin that they've tried to disguise to look like a tree.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but it's too
regular in its leaves.
My sister-in-law lives in the wilds of Arizona on a farm, and she has a Verizon 5G modem, and it works great at one end of the house and does not work at all at the other end of the house. Well, it covers the house itself, so, you know, when they first got it, it didn't work, and she called me up, of course. I said, try it in a different room. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved it to the other end of the house, worked like a charm. Okay. You know what?
And a lot of these 5G companies are now working on meshing their systems.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's coming also.
We had a customer once that couldn't get Wi-Fi on their patio.
Yeah.
Right outside the kitchen glass doors. And so, well, we put another router in. Still couldn't get it. You know, I can see the table 10 feet away. Turned out it was leaded glass.
I knew you were going to say that. All right.
So we had to put one in the second floor to get around the lead.
Right.
You guys have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks for letting me put my two cents in.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take it.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited by this merger, Greenlight Mobile and Go mm-hmm. NetSpeed or whatever.
Well, it's confusing. I was looking at the press release on Greenlight's website, and it's three companies. There's another one called i3 Communications that are merging together and creating two different companies.
Yeah, I get it. And I get that. Yeah. I don't understand the machinations, but I do. I'm excited for the folks at Greenlight because they get to expand. I'm excited. Hopefully, we'll get better and more product availability. My hope is that with the T-Mobile money behind them, they'll be able to go into more neighborhoods mm-hmm. and do more stuff. So I'm very excited about all of that.
And that's what we said when Tom Galassano invested a chunk of money into them, too. And they've expanded quite a bit.
Right.
Although I did read, so Greenlight has moved into Buffalo, and there was a lot of concern that the Rochester installers moved to Buffalo, and it slowed down Rochester. No, we hired a bunch of new people in Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, and the days are gone. You know, back in the day when it was installing just copper or phone wire, pretty much anybody with a pickup truck and a rusty pair of pliers could do mm-hmm. the work. Now you have to be able to do fiber.
Yeah.
That ain't easy.
Fiber doesn't like to bend very much.
Right, exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Oh, hi, Nick, Steve, and Dave. I am a member, and I'll be adding some more. I didn't realize you were running that low.
Thank you. Thank you so much, James. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, I know every year we do this.
Yep.
Quick question for you. I use Sea Cleaner a couple times a year. What are the settings I should be looking out for on that?
Okay, so Sea Cleaner. Dave, are you familiar with Sea Cleaner?
Nope, don't use it.
Okay. The Sea Cleaner setting, there is something called Smart. There's something called, in Sea Cleaner, there is a setting called Smart Cleaning.
Uh-huh.
That will monitor for junk and stuff like that, and set your deletion method to secure if you're running an hard disk drive, a spinning drive. And there's a thing called custom clean for specific file systems and things like that.
Have you heard of the C-Cleaner?
Yeah, I'm talking about C-Cleaner. Those are all parts of C-Cleaner.
Yeah. The reason I don't know much about it is because Revo Uninstaller does that all for me.
Right.
It goes in there and cleans out all that junk automatically.
No, it doesn't. But some of it it does. But C-Cleaner...
Wait a minute. There is a feature in Revo Uninstaller to clean up leftover residue in the programs.
In the programs?
The hard drive. The hard drive.
Okay. All right.
Remnants.
All right. But if you're using C-Cleaner, the smart drive will monitor for... Smart cleaning will look for junk... And custom clean will look for specific system files, and there are secure deletion methods. So those are the three big ones, really.
And the free version will also clear your browser cache and temp files.
Right,
and that's the type of stuff I'm looking for. Yes.
Yeah. So that's probably your best. That's your best. And if you're going to be cleaning the registry with it, as always, whether you're using C-Cleaner or Revo Uninstaller or anything, we always recommend creating a backup of the registry before you clean it up. That way, if something does happen to go wrong, you can always restore the backup.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thank you for the information.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
They also have a memory saver and an energy saver in C-Cleaner, so those are nice.
We run into customers that have C-Cleaner installed on their machines, and every time I do something, it pops up. And do you want to delete this extra stuff? Well, if I knew that, I would have done it myself. That's what I bought you for.
Right. Well, but, you know, sometimes people don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they don't, but sometimes they don't. So it's nice that you have an option anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
there was a program that claimed to remove all the other languages from apps.
Oh yeah,
because a lot of apps are multilingual to save you disk space. But then the checksum fails,
right?
Because the app has been modified and it won't run.
Well, right. Same with Revo on the story. There's a button also to go in and how we've said Windows throws in so much bloatware. You know, as far as games and all that other stuff, you can select that tab. It will list all the programs that are currently installed there that Windows, just graciously put on your machine, whether you wanted them or not. You can select them a few at a time and just do a bulk erase. You just sit back and let it do it, and it does it.
Nice. So, yeah, we talked about the bloatware. Obviously, if you're not a big game player, you can get rid of all the games.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of stuff that... And what people don't understand is that many systems come with... not test versions. What are they
called?
Trial versions of particular software, like McAfee.
Yeah.
McAfee, for example. You think to yourself, oh, I've got McAfee on my system. I'm protected. You're protected for 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever it is. And then the trial ends, and if you don't pay for it, it goes away.
And the problem is a lot of the bad guys send out fake McAfee update notices.
Right.
So telling a real notice from a fake notice can be tricky.
Right. So,
back when I had my business going, I got called in for a suit because the guy got a brand new computer, and he also got the trial version of Windows Office.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought it in, and when he got it back, you know, he's saying, well, wait a minute, my Windows isn't working, you know, Office isn't working there. Sir, it's only a trial. So he took me to court.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I broke it. I said, and the judge asked, well, what's going on? I says, it was a trial version. The days ran out. Because it was only like so many days.
You owe him 3 days of Microsoft Office.
And, right. You know, but he wanted it fully reinstated. I says, I can't. It was a complimentary subscription that was given to him.
From the computer company. Sue them.
I can't restart it. Call Microsoft.
Yeah.
And the judge says, no. And he threw it out.
Sure. You got to be aware. And sometimes it means reading the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's on your system doesn't mean you got it for free. Microsoft doesn't give away free.
Heck no. They don't.
They paid the computer company to put that on there.
Right.
To make the computer cheaper.
The other company paid Microsoft to put that on there.
Yep.
So Microsoft made money with that trial version.
And if you hit the subscribe button, then you're paying that $100 a year.
$100 a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or 150 once.
Wasn't it?
If you really want Office.
Or you download LibreOffice for free and it does all the same stuff. What? Okay. Fine.
Well, didn't you say they get spiffs, you know, for promoting, you know, putting this program on, you know, the company that's building the computers will get all these extra spiffs because, oh, I'm throwing on this program.
Right. So on top of Microsoft adding all this junk, the company that makes your laptop, like Dell or Lenovo or Asus, will also get paid to put trial versions on or freemium, which means you get a certain amount of it for free, but if you want to do something really cool, you have to pay. And so, you know, that's where a lot of the bloatware really comes from. And so you got to be a little more careful. You got to be a little more aware, which is why first thing I do is remove Windows and put Linux on it. And nothing goes on that I don't want. So, you know, it pays to be careful and pay attention to what's been put on your machine and what's actually running on your machine as opposed to what's available for trial. All right, that music tells us we are done for another week. Lots of calls this week. Also, some excellent stuff. Thank you for everybody who called. Thank you for particularly for those of you who pointed out that you are members. And thanks even more. Bless each and every one of you for those of you who have stepped up and pledged extra to help us get a little closer to that goal. We appreciate each and every one of you. We want to stay on the air. We want to keep bringing you this show, but it isn't up to us. And so thank you to those of you who have stepped up. We appreciate it. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Hopefully, we'll see you in 166 hours.